This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, a light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
You're listening to Family Matters. It's Beck and Gina. Gina, you're having a child, my friend.
Oh my God, I'm not nervous at all.
Is it making you more or less scared that we brought in all these wonderful people to give you advice?
I feel a lot safer with these people giving me advice because I've got their phone numbers now and we'll speed dial them.
That's true.
Whenever I need to.
But we brought in the big guns now.
Total big guns.
How big are the guns we've brought in, Gina?
At the commish.
Hey,
we have the commish, who was our second guest here on Family Matters.
Roy Allen, legend. Roy Allen,
welcome.
Thank you, but you've brought your big guns.
Yes. You said this in the second episode.
Yep.
The real big guns, the real master. Kate, welcome. Welcome, Thank Family
you.
Matters.
What a power couple.
I know.
I'm fangirling.
Every good
so
commish is a good K.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's the secret to the success, isn't it, Ro?
That's in the Constitution.
It is to having a kid for me. I had a child with someone who's done it before. So Kay has two adult boys and I thought, well, you've done this. You've done baby stuff.
She had good pedigree.
Good pedigree, all sorted, and I could just, you know, defer the big question. So I cheated.
Well, you didn't cheat because you were the person who, and you have frightened me with this, there is no butch maternity wear. I can assure you there is no butch maternity
wear. There is a
small
market for it. I just wore my dad's shirts. I just grabbed all my dad's shirts and that's what I wore.
What about like an overall or something?
For 9 months. It'd be denim. No. I did see some denim in a shop the other day, like for maternity denim, and I was still like, no.
Doesn't cover.
No.
Doesn't cover.
It really doesn't.
No.
It's fine.
For butch and gender diverse people having a baby, I tell you, it's hard. Nobody stands up for you on a tram. They just think you've got a beer gut.
They still, you know what? My partner is feminine and is visibly pregnant, and they rush to push you out of the way to get those seats.
Yeah, yeah.
Lucky they haven't done it in front of me. I would have just quietly.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, look, Ro and Kay, experienced parents, here to teach you things, Gina.
Life, go.
I'm going to start with Kay.
Yeah, go Kay.
Okay. Kay, what's your number one thing you think Gina needs to know in the lead up to this? Maybe some advice for her as a partner of someone about to have a baby.
So we're on the home run now, right?
We're
getting very close.
Home stretch.
Yeah. Partner's probably almost just about finished work. Yeah. Time to pack the delivery bag.
Yes.
The delivery bag is very important. There's a few things in there you really shouldn't forget.
There is a guilty
things
look on
like,
Ro's face.
Yeah, well, understandably. I was away in Tasmania when Ro went into labour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was doing Ro had to pack her own delivery bag was actually, you know.
When my water had broken.
In labour.
And I woke Kay up. She was doing a consultation piece down at Tasmania. I woke her up at 5:30 and says, my water's broken. And so while she rushed back, I packed the bag.
Oh, my God.
Was pretty bad. What it had in it.
Okay. What was in the bag? What was in the bag?
I have no memory, but I'm sure.
All right, Kay, really, what was in the bag? What should have been in the bag we'll cover later.
No.
What was in the bag?
Well, what was in the bag? I think you had a few shirts.
For a 3-year-old.
It's true.
Oh,
let me tell you, at the end of the day, you're going to take home a baby. This baby is not going to be a size 3.
No.
This will be like a double
Even
O.
I know this, Ro.
That's right. Small little
triple
one baby
O's.
Outfit to get at home. That's what you need. Yeah.
In my defence, I was in labour.
True. I was still working, so I was I was standing at the kitchen bench emailing my staff directions.
right? Because I was 3 weeks early. My partner was in
Tasmania. Is making us nervous.
We're my mother was in Wodonga. I was in Violetown. And I was on my own. It was 5:30 in the morning and my water broke.
Oh, my God.
I was a little stressed.
We just like, here's some stuff around the house.
We'll just look at it.
Did you drive yourself or call for help?
Oh, God, no. I called for help.
Oh, good.
I called my neighbours. She do in the bush.
Neighbour.
Oi, the rains are here. I mean, my water's broke. Something's happened.
One or the other.
I think it's on.
So that's good advice. Do you think maybe Gina should be helping pack the bag for Karen? Do you think, from your experience, this should be something Gina should take on?
What should be in this bag?
What should be in this bag?
Because I hear you get a bounty bag from the hospital.
Well, maybe you
what,
do.
Like the chocolate?
That would depend on where you deliver. There was no bounty bag where we went, let me tell you.
So what are the key things?
Chocolate?
All right. Chocolate.
Forget the reading material and all the lovey things like massage oils and the little candles. And
And look, I've got a bit
There'll
of experience.
There'll be no time for that.
I was my sister's support person when she delivered, and it was a 23-hour labour that turned into an emergency caesarean between my sister, her husband, and a lot of changed hospital staff because they kept changing shifts. Those heat bags, all those plans went out the window. She wanted none of that, none of us. She wanted my mother.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, because the instructions before my sister went in was don't call mum and dad because they'll fuss. And a couple of hours in, call mum, get her here now. And we were just like shoved to the back of the room, worried to death.
Yeah.
And none of that stuff kind of mattered at that moment.
Jeez. Good support people.
Good support people.
Yeah, yeah. Someone you can really hang, that will really hold you. Absolutely. Aww.
Now, Ro, as the person having the baby.
Alone.
What do you
know? She rushed. No. I'll put the listeners out of their misery. No.
She got there.
I was 36 hours of labour. She had a hell of a long time to get back from Tasmania.
What's the number one thing you think that Gina should be doing as a support person? Or what could she do wrong that she shouldn't do?
I'm good under pressure, mate.
Oh, apologise for everything.
Totally. That's already happening. That's been for love. Is she listening? I'm in a bit of trouble. I am. I'm taking nothing on. It's all good. Great.
Yeah. I think you'd be right, mate. I think you've actually assisted, you know, before.
Yes.
It's not going to be. But I don't think you should underestimate, because it's your own kid, it'll take you to a whole different level. Your emotions. I mean, I'll tell a story about Kay now. She's told a story about me. Kay was like, oh, no, it's okay. I don't need to cut the cord. I don't need to. No, it'll be right. And then in the heat of the moment, you know, you did want to and you know, and I can't see anything because it's, you know,
there's a sheet,
thank goodness,
protecting you from all that that's
going. Just at the moment, the surgeon said to Kay, would you like to stand up and see? And you didn't think you were going to want to, and you did. You stood up, and so all I could see was Kay's bottom lip quivering from the experience.
What a moment. You stand up from behind the sheet, you know, and you're just watching this wet, dripping child being lifted out of your partner's belly. It's just extraordinary moment.
Wow.
It's something you see every day.
No, it's not what they show on the videos, I can assure you. Mm. I've had sit through a few now.
Mm. Now, there's another thing I think Ro and Kay can help you with.
Please.
Now, as I understand it, babies cry.
A lot.
Yeah.
What's your tip for the crying baby at night, perhaps?
Mm. I've read a lot of bad stuff.
Mm.
Like, I've been going through all the bad parenting advice, and when it comes to controlled crying and crying, there's hideous stuff out there. So please, I'm taking notes. I've got a pen, got paper. I'm ready.
Well, if you're not a controlled crying person, then I guess maybe I should just leave it at this point.
I don't know what to...
Well, my gig is that I like to sleep at night, and this is my second time around for parenting, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to do that sleepless thing again. That's just hideous. So when our daughter was 3 months old and Ro was heading back to the office, back to work, and we all need to get a decent night's sleep, I just kind of barricaded myself to the door and said, no, need to let her whinge for a bit. No, she is only whinging. No, she's not crying yet. No, it's okay. She's still whinging. No, you cannot go in at this point.
Just she was barricaded up against the door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, barricaded herself between me. Because everything hormonally says go pick up the baby.
Get the baby.
And Kay's just standing with her arms spread out across the door saying, go for a walk, Ro, go for a walk. I got this. You'll thank me later. She's only whinging. She's not crying. Go for a walk now. And I still remember this. Like, it was 3 months I had of leave. And then the night... because I was like night parent, right?
I had to get up. And the night I was going back to work, Kay just grabbed Alex and gave her a little rock in her arms and said, okay, now the night mummy's going back to work. And I'm not a night mummy.
Oh.
So from it was like hypnosis. From now on, you will sleep through the night. And unbelievable. Unbelievable. She woke up at 6 o'clock. I'm like, you're kidding me. Couldn't you have done that a week ago? I know. It was like fair income. No lie. And then that's what she did. And I went back to work 3 months. And then we got our
child
life back.
Whisperer.
Wow.
You're
on speed dial. I've got your number, okay? I'm getting yours.
Every kid is not a night mummy.
Every child is different.
Oh, that's what I've heard, unfortunately.
Yeah, everyone's different.
But I heard a friend of mine was kind of saying one of the most frightening nights is not the night they cry through. It's the first night they sleep through. And you don't sleep.
You wake up and you think that
because
child.
You're checking for breathing. You are not like you. She said it was the most frightening night.
You haven't got one of those things underneath them with.
Oh yeah, Gina went and bought one. Most expensive. Because I said to her to get that piece of equipment. She said, "You're nuts. You're crazy. You're an OSA. You're going to be a helicopter parent." Blah blah blah. And then she said to me, "Gina, I should have bought that piece of equipment. And do yourself a favor and buy that piece of equipment."
What is it?
So what we're talking about is it's a little pad underneath the mattress, the baby. And it actually detects when the baby stops breathing.
Oh, that's good.
And an alarm. Beeps you.
Yeah. I'd get that.
Mm. Oh, we had that.
Mm. Fabulous.
We had that.
Yeah. I'm going to just start putting it under the dog just to test that it's working because I'm that kind of person that wants to double check that everything's working.
But I don't think you want it to work.
Well, that's it. If the dog sleeps on me. So if the dog, and the thing doesn't, I know it's working. Mm. I will double check everything.
Now, there's a difference between the dog and the child.
Can I say one of my I'm afraid I'll do what my best mate did, and he was he was the stay-at-home dad, and he had a dog he'd loved for 13 years who's no longer with us, and he was pushing the kid in the pram, and he was walking the dog, and somebody came up and said, oh, and how old's the little one? He forgets that he's pushing a baby and starts talking about his dog because he's not used to talking about this child. He's so used to talking about his dog. I fear that might be me.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to have to train the dog to like the pram because my dog's scared of prams.
Now, did you say your dog sleeps on the bed?
Yeah, with
Don't
me.
Let the baby sleep in the bed.
No. That one I know.
You got that one?
Yeah, got that one. Yeah. Totally got that one. There's lots of Sid's training on that one. That one is...
Well, Sid's reason, and because they grow up and they want to keep sleeping in your bed.
The co-parenting thing. I've heard sometimes you have to, but I'm quite happy to...
No, the dog sleeps.
That's how I sleep.
But then
the dog in my arms.
No action for you, Gina. No,
that's it.
Oh,
yeah. No action.
And our
that's what I'd
like
be worried about.
Child. So child doesn't lay straight in bed. Surprisingly.
Where did she get that from?
And she swivels and then kicks you or headbutts you out either side of the bed.
So she comes in, well, she doesn't do it now. She's nine, but she would come in and you do the soothing and everything, but she knew that she was going back to her bed.
And
she
my would never parents wake were up strict like that.
Yeah, with us.
Yeah, I was never allowed in the bed and I'm hands up. I think I'll be following. Look, I can barely fit on the bed now. There is a very pregnant person. There is a very big pregnancy pillow. There is a dog and plus another pillow in case that pillow kind of gets in the way. And then maybe there's me and a bit of sheet. But,
All right, Ro K, what's the best thing about being a mum?
You go.
You go.
It's the look on their faces right now, though, Beck, isn't it?
Oh, when they do something really nice. And you just go, oh, that's so good. That's so lovely. I mean, the most recent one for me was seeing a stand-up in front of 3,000 people and say, I just want to thank the Yes campaign for making my family safe. I love my family and my family loves me no matter what the survey says.
She was amazing. And, good sense of humour, your kid, too. I liked her little Kamish Junior.
Love it.
I was like, I like you. You're good.
Very cool.
Watch this space. We've created a monster.
Yeah.
Love it.
So when they do something like that, because she said to me, Mum, I think I'll write your speech. I said, righto. And then I read it and I cried. And I said, this sounds like something you really want to say. So I asked the other mummager whether, she was allowed to get up there and do it. So I think what I love about having a kid is just those special family moments, where it's just, I still think, all the stuff that I get to do in my job, and I'm so honoured to be Victoria's Commissioner, the best thing I've ever done is have Alex.
Oh, that's so cool.
So good luck.
Very good. Kay.
My proudest moment?
Yeah.
For me, it's about watching them grow and becoming their own independent little people. And Ro talked about the gig that she did. But what she didn't say is that before Al got on stage, Al turned around to me and said, I was doing the hush hush mum, you know, just, you know, don't forget to take your box out and stand on it and pull the mic down and that sort of stuff.
Logistics.
Yeah. She turned around to me and she eyeballed me and she said, Mum, I've done bigger gigs than this.
Oh!
I've got it.
And she's
And
had.
I just kind of went, oh, yeah, you go, girl.
Your kid's going to run the world.
That is fantastic.
That's amazing.
Now, what are some other parenting tips? What are some of the worst tips you've probably received and then later thought, oh, actually, that wasn't... That's a good idea.
I think the worst thing you can tell expecting parents is the horror stories about pregnancy. Yeah.
Don't ever Why do they do
Why
that?
Why do they do that?
Why?
It's like some rite of passage. It's hideous.
Someone shared a story the other day, you know, oh, in this condition, somebody can bleed to it. Why? Why? Why do we scare women that are about to have a child and expecting parents as well? Why do we do this? It's cruel. It is cruel. Tell funny stories.
I got a lot for them.
I went to a baby shower last week.
I say I've actually vetoed a baby shower. I'm not a fan, and I've said absolutely no baby shower.
This one,
I think it's a gift, Gina.
Not interested. I don't have storage. I don't want.
This one had a lot of champagne. I was fine with that.
Oh, that was okay. We'll go to the
party. But I was the only person there that didn't have kids, hence why I was sitting next to the champagne. It was like they all went round in this circle telling these horrendous stories about, oh, well, my doctor didn't turn up and my baby came somewhere. And I was just like, honestly, like, why do people even have children?
Yeah.
If you heard, it sounds awful.
Yeah.
It's why they tell the stories at the shower because it's too late after
that. Yeah, that's true.
No, it's hot. It's too late. So I think that's the worst
thing. Nobody does it in the IVF clinic as they're kind of waiting to go see a fertility specialist. No, it's there.
So I heard all the most horrible stories in the world and... You know, mine adds to it.
36
Mine was worse than any one of those that I ever heard. So I was like, well, you know, I was good.
Kay had enough time to fly.
Oh, yeah, she could have totally flown around Australia and come back.
Oh, my God, that's insane.
Yeah. But the thing is, for me, everyone has their own story. The plans never go to plan. Everyone's got a vision about how it's going to be and it really, I think, works out like that. The gig for me is that have good support people around you. And then you'll manage whatever happens, however it goes.
It's quite funny. I mean, so my blessing is meeting all the rainbow families that I've met doing this show. And I think I've come into it at the right time in my life to meet the people that I have and feel blessed with those connections. But I'm also very ethnic. And I've learnt from experience that it's not just one mother, one father, or one sibling that cares for you. It is a Greek community. It is a community. It's a village that raises this child. And in a Greek family, any child, you know, can be disciplined by any of that village for doing anything wrong. So that village kind of, you know, community raising this child is something I'm really comfortable with. For our rainbow families, is there something a little bit different when it comes to taking care of our little ones?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In Violetown, and we lived in Violetown for the first 7 years of Alex's life, the village helped raise Alex.
Yeah.
You know, most of those people were, you know, straight couples that lived all around us. I think in the last 2 years, definitely the LGBTI village has raised Alex.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have gaybies now, so kids of rainbow families who are old enough to babysit Alex.
Oh,
right? So we
that's
pay
awesome.
We pay gaybies to babysit Alex, right?
And so you're awesome.
Getting Alex will be ready to be the baby awesome. Like soon. Not she's not, so maybe not quite soon, but by the time you want to go out.
By the time I'll be allowed
to go out and leave the house.
And my 60th.
The other thing is, you know, Because of my role and because of the fact that I'm out a lot at night and, it you know, I think it doubles the output when I take Kay, that means we take – I believe we do, it does. And we take Alex. And the community really looks after Alex. So if we're up the front doing, you know, stuff or I'm up front doing stuff or whatever, Alex is floating around eating the supper off the table on the side or whatever she's doing, like it – breast cream Victoria. She just kept sneaking into the front and eating all the food.
Smart kid.
Good kid. The community really just says that's, you know, like they've adopted Alex just like they've adopted me, really, I think, our whole family. And I think that's what you can look forward to as a Rainbow family when you're with other families and in community. They're our kids. They're all our kids, and we all look after our kids. And
totally,
you know, that's what this community is about. And I'm, you know, I'm so grateful for that.
And that we were meant to have Jack Tomlins on tonight, but she's been working her absolute bejesus off in the last couple of weeks. And she, you know, when we talk about unsolicited parenting advice, I'm going to reshare a video where she, you know, she gives her top tips to Rainbow families in 10 minutes. It's some of the best advice I've ever heard, and I've actually taken quite a bit of that on, and will be replaying it probably to a couple of people in my family, you know, with the impending birth. But people like Jax is someone that lives in my local area. You know, she's introduced me to other parents in the area, so that makes me feel so, it's that I get comfort from, to go, there's other people that have done this before me, done it really well. And that's the thing, I've met these gay babies, they're some of the best humans that I've ever met.
Gabies are very evolved.
My goodness, we interviewed 17 for that. I'll never do that again.
They're all smarter than me.
Oh, my goodness. When we asked them, you know, we asked the question, if you were Prime Minister for a day, what would you do? And, of course, they all said, yeah, of course, marriage equality.
Like, it was just,
of course.
Done deal.
But the stuff that then followed, you know, taking care of refugees, climate change, taking care of our environment, banning live export. I was just blown away to hear these just beautiful little humans with amazing parents.
I know. And that shows amazing parenting. You know, that whole debate about people saying you've got to worry about the kids.
Oh.
These kids are great. They're fine.
I'm so looking forward to it.
They're more evolved than
future.
Many adults that I know.
Yeah. Well, we are very thankful that you've come in. The commish and the person behind the commish, Kay Rowe. Kay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your advice. Thank you so much for taking care of us and creating a safer space for someone as ditzy as me to go out there and have a bubba. This bubba's going to be very safe.
Kay, if Gina needs you to come and barricade the door at 3 a.m., I'm sure you'd be happy to
Not
do that.
Not 3 a.m. I can do it about 7:30.
Okay. After the ABC News.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be on. You are listening to Family Matters here on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.